You have huge ambitions and big dreams, but are worried that you will never reach them due to ADHD holding you back. We are here to tell you, show you, and prove to you that you can and you will reach your goals, despite all of the challenges we ADHDers face. Understand your brain, crush your symptoms, hyper-focus on your goals, and leverage your unique strengths so you can enjoy your life, feel better, and finally live up to your true potential. Welcome to the ADHD Doers Podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome. I'm actually today here with Jordan Strauss, a fellow entrepreneur who is an expert in copywriting. But let's maybe, Jordan, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, part of the reason why I'm on here is because I've known Maurice now for a few months, and in our kind of going back and forth, I let him know I was diagnosed with ADD when I was 13 years old, and he was building an ADHD related funnel, and I'm not sure I didn't have ADHD. I mean, this was in the 90s, so I could have had it. They weren't like, I don't even remember that being a thing until the 2000s, and something that I struggle with, but when I found, and we could talk more about this, when I first got into guitar, I mean, you guys, I just moved into a new house. Actually, you can see my guitars down there. Like, I started playing guitar when I was like 13, and that taught me, that I could focus. And then I then turned that into a business. And then I turned my guitar business. I learned how to copyright as a way to sell that. And then I got into an online business and kind of like, here we are.
Yeah, that's actually very typical, because if people with ADHD are interested in a topic, there's no problem with focusing on it, because then there's like, they actually hyper-focus and focus even more on the things they're interested in. That's why a lot of entrepreneurs, it's a diagnosis, but in the end, it's also on a spectrum. Like, many entrepreneurs show these traits, like very broad different interests. So if you look back into your way, like what are the struggles you had while venturing into this entrepreneurship journey?
I mean, it's, I know, finding that thing. Like, I mean, one thing, there's a lot, because I thought about this, there's things I want to say, and like, I don't know if we're going to, what the other questions are, but like, a lot of people feel like their ADHD is like a death sentence or something like that. And, you sort of referenced it, it's keeping in mind that, like, if you can't get interested in something, like, it's not your thing, And so I've, in this entrepreneurial world, like, I've done a whole lot of stuff, and I started and stopped and quit a lot of stuff. And, rather than beating myself up for it, like, realize, like, listen, like, when you found something that's your thing that you like, you can focus on it. So if you can't focus on it, rather than blaming it on yourself and calling yourself lazy or saying you got ADD or something like that, just understand, like, you haven't found your thing. And so when I found my thing, which is like copywriting and marketing, like, I literally cannot get enough of it. I can't stop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly, that's also what we're trying here at ADHD Doers, to really highlight this, framing it as a different brain, really, because of course there are struggles with it, but if you see the advantages of it, like if you are interested in things, you actually can perform at high levels, and it can be an advantage. Actually, next week I'm interviewing a professor researching ADHD and entrepreneurship and the connection between those, because a lot of successful entrepreneurs have these ADHD tendencies. So yeah, but if you are in an environment that doesn't fit how your brain works and forces you to do things you are not interested in, yeah, you will struggle a lot, definitely, like in school or university or the foreign job. But it's a great point. You need to find the things that you are interested in, that you enjoy. Besides that, are there any like tips you would have someone that at the moment, maybe he's still at university or school and also has a job and kind of ventures into entrepreneurship, is interested in it, like what are the things that he should be aware of, that he maybe should start doing to make sure it's successful?
Is this in reference to ADHD, or is it in reference to just the general path?
Yeah. Maybe can make it a little bit more ADHD specific, but also the general things that, as again, because we are ADHD focused. But then again, many people, a lot of the things are still the same. So if you have some ADHD-specific things, throw them in, but at Just your best advice. Try to give it your best advice, basically.
Got it. So this is the thing about this, and I never really thought about this until now, but it's kind of crazy. Like, for someone like that's ADHD or ADD, and you're on 1,000 different things, like, that's almost perfect for, like, the start of entrepreneurship, because, like, there's so much to learn, and, like, you can't learn it all at once. And so, like, your natural ability to want to skip from thing to thing to thing is actually okay. And I look at, like, what my path was. Like, I started off learning how to find, like, ideal clients. Then I transferred that on to, then I learned Facebook ads. And then, actually, part of my story is when I was 31, I had a stroke. And when I was home recovering, I actually had two strokes. When I was home recovering from my second stroke, I took a copywriting course. And you know, and I never stayed on one thing. And I always used to just like I thought it was like something was wrong with me and that it was a bad thing. And now when I look back, like, me being the way that I am put me on the path to where I am. And if I was the type of person that's like, oh, I'm just going to focus on this one thing, like, all the skills that I needed to be successful, like understanding marketing, understanding persuasion, understanding how ads work, understanding ideal clients, customer avatar, like all that stuff, funnels. Like, if I would have just not been the way I am, there's no way I would have had the level of success that I am, because, like, I wouldn't have, unbeknownst to me, been naturally doing everything that I needed to do. And then once I got into it and I got some success, then I lasered in. But to get to the point where I was able to have the type of success that I had to be focused on it, or not focused on one thing.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I super agree, because compared to you, of course, I'm at the very beginning, but I already can notice it. I skipped it around a lot, and now I have a pretty good understanding of many things, and that's why I really actually love that I got into a coaching program with you, because it kind of forced me to focus on one thing long enough. That's like one of the biggest issues many people with ADHD have, that they, it's good to have some of the jumping around, but at some point you need to commit to one thing and really become good at that, because at the end you need one thing that really, yeah, great advice right there. Another thing we usually do at these interviews, keep them general, but also we try to get to really benefit from the expertise of the person to talk about an area they are expertise in. So I would like to give you, like, on copywriting, like, a few framework or just like the basics for someone. What does it take in copy to really persuade people to buy your product or on persuasion?
Got it. So one thing is, I was actually thinking about this earlier today, like, most people don't even know what copywriting is. Like, if you say copywriting to someone, like, I was talking to one of my friends and I said something about copywriting job, and they thought I was talking about, like, legal stuff. Like I was like, you know, we're sending off tapes to, like, the Library of Congress and they're giving you the rights to it. Like, that's not what it is. What copywriting is it's using words to sell, persuade to sell. And so, like, you have a customer that's here, like, this is a thing. This is the customer where they are. This is Buyerland, the glorious place that we call Buyerland. And you're trying to use words to make that customer walk in that place and then hop the glorious fence into Buyerland. That's what copywriting is. And the number one thing is, and this is something that, you know, it's continually reminded me, and this is like something too, where with your ADHD and ADD, like, you know, understand that, like, it's always going to be a process. And so try to, like, not let any shortcomings that you have feel like it's something wrong with you, understanding that, like, you can only know and learn what you want to learn. Because sometimes we just want to do it all, right? But we have to get going on the process. And one of the things I always have to remember is you have to know who you're talking to. And what I mean is that, like, and this is especially online, because what we forget is, one of my online marketing mentors, Evan Pagan, said, he's like, we're not talking to credit cards email addresses, we're talking to people. And so if you forget that, like, when you put something else online, that there's something online for marketing, or even offline, but online especially, that, like, there's a person with thoughts, feelings, emotions, that had parents, that was a baby, that was a child, like, they good day, bad day, you know, whatever, that has a life, and you're now talking to that person. And if you don't know, like, you know, as specifically as possible who that person is, you have little to no hope of persuading them. And that's really what at the essence of copy is. You find out what's important to somebody, you find out what they want, and then by knowing knowing who they are, how they are, and how they think, you can figure out what to say to take them from point A to point B. So that's generally. Now, do you want me to get like more specific than that?
I think that's a great start, really, because that's one, again, from my experience, from someone who is a little bit on the beginning side, that's exactly the thing I did wrong. When you go too broad and you don't have your niche and target market, it's so hard to write things that actually resonate with your customer. So what I would like you to do is maybe go a little bit more specific on a framework or something, maybe provide an example. On this part of persuasion, because with ADHD, I'd like to go a little bit more in the psychology direction of the persuasion.
Okay. So with psychology, it's everybody overcomplicates this. And it's a lot of the reason why, and I even find this, like when I write copy that sells and like you wrote words and that cost someone to like take out their wallet and give money, you're like, oh, I got, you're like, this is crazy. You're like, I have like some evil genius superpower. So you start to like believe you're like your own stuff, but it's actually not that complicated, you know? And so copywriting might not necessarily be easy, but it's also not some like dark art only available to like a select few. And so really it is, ask yourself, what would I have to say in an one-on-one discussion to get a certain person to take a certain action? Because a lot of times what we try to do in copywriting is we try to give, like, I know this is what you're asking for, and I have a bad habit of doing this. Like, you'll ask me for something and I'll give you something else, but I think that thing's gonna help. Like, I am not necessarily like, you know, headline, opening paragraphs, open bullets, story bullets, close. Like, I'm not gonna necessarily give you like, tell you how to like write a sales letter. But you know, you have to think of it as every different persuasion opportunity that you have is different. Like, you know, so you're talking to me this week. Like, if you wanted to persuade me to do something, you're going to do it differently to me than you are to the guy that you interviewed next week and the guy that you interviewed last week. And we might all be buying the same thing, you know, or you might have to say certain things. So you try to think about, okay, what does this person need to know? So generally, right now I'm writing a lot in like the e-commerce niche, but this applies to anything. So the number one thing that you have to do, and I'll give you your framework, but the whole thing is like, don't get overly lost in the framework. Focus on, like, take your out of the computer and say, if this person was right in front of me, like, what would I have to say to get them to do what ethically they need to do and what I want them to do, ethically, morally, all that stuff. So the number one thing to do, and this is in Facebook ads, it's really any ad, is you have to get their attention. And in print, this is done with like large headlines and imagery. In Facebook ads, it's done with the ad image. If people are familiar with Facebook ads, you have your feed, you have the ad and the feed. It's usually the picture that stops the scroll. Then all advertisements have a headline. And what a headline is it's that statement that's supposed to grab their attention and reel them in. So they have to know more. And there's a lot of nuances there. Like, this is like, there's books written, you know, on headlines, you know. But a great analogy I heard from someone, I can't remember who, I remember Ben Settle is the one I heard it from. He's not the one that said it. Ben Settle is a famous email marketer. If you guys don't know him, just look him up. He said that a headline should be able to, if someone was running stark naked through the woods with meat around their neck being chased by a hungry pack of wolves, that your headline should be good enough to grab that person's attention, even though they're being chased by like a pack of their, you know, rabid dogs or whatever. Like, so your headline grabs your attention, you pull them in. Then in a Facebook ad, I'll go to more Facebook ads so that's more direct, is, and this is the way that I do it for e-commerce. This is a framework that I've seen work for $1 million sales and million view ads. The video views, if you ever see a video on Facebook that has like a million views on it, what that means is that ad is working, because you don't spend enough money to get a million views on your Facebook video unless you're making money back. So it's just a tip for you if you see something. So look at like what they're doing. And this is what I did. I saw what was working in this niche, and I, you know, developed this framework that I'm giving you right now. So you have, then the first line is the benefit. So, you know, get XYZ benefit so that you can stop this problem. So it's like, you give the benefit so that you can stop this problem. Then you introduce the product. And this is the thing, it's a very subtle distinction, but a lot of people think that when they sell like a product online, that the product, it should be focused on the product. But if people don't know your product, like, you can't start with the product. You have to start with where they're at. Something that my A-list copywriting mentor, Kim Krasny Schwamm, says to me all the time. She's like, you have to hit people where they're at. I'm like, all right. And when I do it, it's very simple, but it works. So you hit them where they're at with the benefit and the problem, because they're not thinking about your product. They're thinking about the benefit that they want and the problem that they have. And then once you do that, then you can start talking about the product. So get XYZ problem or benefit to solve this problem with such and such a product. Then you tell them what it is. Because just because you told them like what the name of the product, it doesn't mean that you you know, they know what it is. So let's say we're talking about like a pet removal brush, like quickly and easily remove all the pet hair from your clothes so that you don't have to step out to your next meeting covered in cat hair and get embarrassed as hell. And like, you can't say that, but I'm just going off the top of my head. With this awesome pet brush, then this pet brush is the, you know, 100% reusable pet brush that you can use to never have a problem with cat hair again. And so you said the benefit, name the product, and then you tell them what it is. Then you tell them how it works. And this is very important. You're not just like, what people lack in their ad, people don't understand this. And now I'm going off. You asked me a question, now I can't stop. Like, people will think that proof, the only type of proof is social proof, like testimonials. And like, I'm always like, you think that three testimonials from three people that no one's ever heard of and don't know and don't care about are like that really that powerful? Like maybe since I'm skeptical, I just don't believe that stuff. But we know what we believe. We believe authority proof. It's like how I say, like, you know, LeBron sells Nikes. Like, it's because it's authority saying it's good. You know, and that people say, oh, it's influencer marketing. Influencer marketing is just authority proof. There's scientific proof. And then there's like empirical proof, like evidence-based proof. And so the next portion of this ad is you tell them how it works. And then you also complain like why it works. Because you start to have to start giving proof. You can't just say like, get this thing because it does this. Because people are going to be like, anybody can say anything. Like literally in advertisement, there's so much skepticism in advertising too. You can make any claim you want. But if you don't back that claim up with proof, no one's going to believe it. And if people don't believe, they will not buy. So you start benefit, introduce the product, tell them what the product is, then you tell them how it works. So this, you know, pet brush works by like the 7 million microfibers that cling specially to like cat hair and lift it from your clothes like a vacuum. Okay. Then you tell them why it works. Like, this works because, you know, of the, you know, the microfibers and cat hairs are this and it creates static electricity and whatever. So you tell them like evidence-based proof and then whatever other form of proof, how it works, why it works. Then what you do is, and this is going through, like, if you were talking to a person, you give them the benefit, you say, okay, listen, you can get this benefit with this thing. Oh, what is this thing? This thing is, it's this. You know, I'm using like on non-specific words and say, oh, okay, then, oh, well, here's how this works and here's why it works. Okay. But then what someone's going to do once they know all that stuff is they're going to ask themselves, okay, well, like, yeah, but can I just do this? Can I just do that? And so that's where you go into like, unlike other solutions, this pet brush, you know, it doesn't pollute the environment. It doesn't like, you know, it's not, you know, one-time use. It's this. It's whatever it is. You don't have to drag a heavy vacuum up the stairs. Like whatever that thing is for that product, you talk about why that your solution is better than other solutions, so that that person in their mind at that point can't be like, well, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to do that, because a lot of people, they don't want to change what they're doing, and unless you point out something wrong with what they're already doing, they're not going to want to do your thing as long as they think that the thing that they're already doing is better or comparable to it. And a lot of times this is done in video ads. It's like it's infomercial style where they show like a black and white, something in black and white, and they place like X's over it. Like, don't do this, don't do that. It just makes you, and if you're doing it, you're like, oh man, I do that. You know, it's almost like a weird form of like shaming. So once you do that, then what you do is then you list all the other benefits. And this is the key. This is a very important point that you think that you know, don't think that you know that the person that's seeing that ad cares about. Because, like, you know, I could talk about the benefits of this cell phone here, but, like, there's certain benefits of this cell phone that people care about, and there's certain benefits of this cell phone that other people care about. And if you explain the benefits that this guy cares about to this guy's not going to buy. So you have to know what the benefits that your product provides that the person actually cares about, and then you list those out at the end. And this is where you start getting also into features. Like, it's quality, 100% USA made, won't do this, won't do that, does this, does that. And this is another important distinction. A lot of people think that you can only talk about one benefit in an ad, like a Facebook ad. That's not true. You have a primary leading benefit, the one that's going to pull the most people. And then down at the bottom, when they're like, you're just trying to like knock down any type of objection or if it does this or if it does that, that's when you list out all that other stuff. And then you give the call to action. The call to action is the offer. How to get it, why to get it, when to get it by, and what they get when they get it. So like you can get this pet hairbrush 60 days risk-free plus $29 in free bonuses. All you have to do is go to, you know, click the link below and let us know where to ship your brush. When you order today, these are the bonuses that you'll get. Order now, supplies are limited, done.
Great. Yeah, love it. No, that's one really, your knowledge of many years condensed to a few different, many more, because in the end, if you get like the basics right first, know who you're talking to, know the benefits of your product and some of the objections people have, so that, and also the proof thing you mentioned, like if you just use this framework to start and have the basics right. So I'm loving your answer. I guess that's what was a lot of value. And one more thing to maybe shift back to your starting of your entrepreneurial. Have you worked in other jobs before? Have you, how fast did you know that that entrepreneurship is something that is for you, that you are interested in?
That's a great question. I started raking leaves for my neighbors when I was 8 years old. Like, And I remember like another kid that lived on my street was like selling like these like little plums that were growing on a tree. And I was like, let's start a business. Like, and I'm like, it's the weirdest thing now because like I've always wanted to, and like this is also too, like I'm not like, oh, I'm such a rebel, but like I hate when people tell me what to do, and I'm an airhead. Like my wife's like, you're an airhead. Like, I mean, she's like, you're very smart, but she's like, you're an airhead. Like, I'm just in my own world. Like, I don't like following directions. I like to be just creative and stuff like that. And so like ever since I was a little kid, I've known that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I've never had a real job in my life. Like, the realest job I ever had was working at CVS when I was 17 and 18 years old. It's like as a pharmacy, it's a drugstore in the United States. And after that, I, you know, did like some manual labor job, and I started teaching guitar, and that's not a real job. Like, I mean, it's hard. It's not an easy job to teach someone to play a musical instrument. And then I got into marketing, and like, it's all been at home stuff, working with people, you know, like remotely, and you know, making my own hours up and stuff like that. And so it, from very early on, and I've just been lucky enough that I've had the opportunity to pursue these goals. And although I've had like naysayers in my life that were meant to try to tell me like the good thing, like I didn't listen to them. Like, they tried to make me go to college, they tried to make me do all that, and like the core of my being would not allow me to do it. It's like trying to make yourself like fall in love with someone you're not interested in, or date someone you just can't do it. And that's the way it was for me. And this is why this is the only thing that feels naturally to me. And my wife says to me, she's like, you would never be happy doing anything else. I just know there's no way you'd be happy doing anything other than this.
Yeah. Great answer. I'm like, I still shame I went to college and all of this, because in Germany it's for free. So basically it was a normal. And then I kept doing this structure, although I'm knowing like that's not my path. And after finishing college, instead of taking a regular job, that's when I went into entrepreneurship, because I also noticed that's not my right environment. So great advice. Your time, I think you don't have much time left.
I got about a minute and a half.
Okay, then that's one last thing that you would recommend someone getting into entrepreneurship, besides they are looking into things they're interested in, and maybe just one last advice you would give them. What should they do to...
That is very easy, and no one's gonna like this answer, but mark my words, success feels a lot like you're getting nowhere. Like, the things that you think that you're gonna do that are gonna like blow up your business, like the fun, like sexy things to do, like that's not what moves you. The boring work, monotonous work, the work that no one else wants to do, that's the thing that moves you. And especially for ADHD and ADD people that have such a tendency to jump from thing to thing to thing, like, you eventually have to get past that boring stage where it feels you're not getting anywhere to get the results. And so just be aware of this. Like, if you feel like you're not getting anywhere or nothing's happening, like, that's oftentimes when things are happening. And if you never push to the other side of that, when the results come, like, you'll never get there. And then you'll just spend your whole life jumping from thing to thing to thing, and all like the great, amazing potential that you have inside of you will never get to come out.
Yeah. Great advice. Really loved the interview. Thanks so much for your time. Really yeah. appreciate it, man. Awesome. And also, no,
thanks for
to
your witnessing. Yeah, thanks for having me, man. And I can't wait to see what you do with this.
Yeah, it's. I'm actually confident that it will blow up if I manage to stick to it, because it's a great need. Also, I love putting like this other frame on it and not only focusing on the bad things of ADHD, but also seeing it as a difference. Because I can see with you, with many other entrepreneurs, like if you manage it into the right direction, you can become so successful. And it's really because that's what it's something I'm passionate about. So thanks awesome. For your time.
You're very welcome.
And see you soon.
Talk soon.